Hey, good afternoon. Mike Shagan, yourfloridabusinessbroker.com, the podcast, if you're looking to learn how to buy or sell a business. Today's topic, how do you fund an acquisition? So, you know, here's a stat for you. Every day, I probably wake up to 50 to 75 emails from buyers who want to buy companies. Yeah, here's the crazy number. Less than 10% ever actually pull the trigger. Now, the number one reason most people can't buy businesses comes down to funding. The perception is that there's this like big, wonderful entity out there called the Small Business Administration, and they're just dying to give capital to people. Or that you can just go to your banker who you have a quote-unquote fantastic relationship with, and they're going to lend you money because you've been depositing your paycheck there for the last 15 years, and you know the bank, the quote-unquote vice president by name. So here's the facts. One, less than 10% of all transactions that get done are done with a bank loan. The only type of loan, in my experience, and granted, I've only done this 300 times, that people will finance a deal through a bank with is an SBA loan. It is not a loan from the government. It is a loan that is guaranteed by the government. The Small Business Administration guarantees the loan, but they set some really crazy strict requirements. One, generally speaking, the business has to have consistent sales. If there's a dip, they darn well better be able to justify it. The ratio of profit, provable profit, not, hey, I hid the money here, it's buried in this expense. There's got to be profit on the front page of that tax return in such a ratio that it can cover the debt service plus a buffer. So what that means, if you've got $50,000 in debt service, they want to see $100,000 in free cash flow above the salary of a living wage for an owner, okay? So they want to make sure that there's enough ebb and flow and flex in the cash flow of the business that they can take a dip in sales or loss of a customer. There's a lot of other requirements. They want to make sure that a buyer has experience in the business when they're buying. They want to make sure that they have first position to seize the assets. If it's a business that's got a lease, that means the landlord is giving up their lease rights. That can quickly kill a deal. They also want to make sure there's no revenue concentration, that any one customer is more than 20% of the revenue. And they want to look at the industry on a whole and kind of forecast out what the risk will be over the next 10 years. Why 10 years? Because that's the life of a loan. Most people who buy businesses, their only experience with financing is that on a house. So they're used to prime and a pretty tolerable interest payment. Business loans are, you know, under the SBA are far more compressed. So instead of a 30-year or a 15-year note, it's a 10-year note. Now hold on to your horses. It gets even better. If the assets of the business are not sufficient in the mind of the bank to cover the risk associated with the goodwill, otherwise known as the dollars lent that don't have collateral, they may ask the seller to hold paper in addition to the bank loan. And that note that the seller holds is behind the bank, which means you ain't getting paid till 10 years after everybody else gets paid. So you want to kill a deal? If the first couple things I talked about weren't hard enough, add that dynamic and ask a seller to wait 10 years to start getting paid. That'll kill a deal. So, you know, there's a bunch of other things that make SBAs really, really hard. One is the closing costs are pretty extravagant. I mean, we're talking $5,000 to $10,000 at a minimum, just in bank closing costs. The legal fees get a little bit excessive. So I always tell people you need to plan around $20,000 just to cover your legal and bank closing costs, where a normal, you know, closing is about $1,500. And then there's a variety of other stuff that makes it really, really tough. You know, you got to have clean books and records. They've got to be able to produce, the seller needs to be able to produce those books and records every quarter. And if you think that's easy, it's not. It's very hard to do. And if the loan isn't done in the 90-day period, because the commitment letter is only good for 90 days, you got to start the whole damn process all over again. So SBA is an option, but is the most unlikely of options. Bigger transactions, you know, the $5 million, $10 million, the stuff where the profit is around $1 million or more, you know, that falls in the arena of private equity and creative financing, things like mezzanine funding from private equity, you know, creative lending from trusts and things like that, like the Kennedy Foundation or the Harvard Fund. Yeah, they've got capital, and so, and even in those scenarios, though, there's going to be some paper held by sellers, or, you know, they may end up holding shares in the company. But, you know, let's not talk about that, because that's that's the exception to what goes on around here. What normally happens when you buy a business or try to buy a business is you got to come with the majority of the cash. You know, there is seller financing, but it is the opposite of, you know, a bank deal where you're putting 20% down. In small business, the seller holds for 2 or 3 years a small amount of paper, and I would generally tell you it's about 20 to 30% of the purchase price, max. On rare occasions, you'll see it more, but that's usually when the deal is not an arm's length transaction. There's someone, like somebody's sick, or there's some distress in the deal that makes the buyer want to have more paper. So, you know, what's a guy to do? Well, there are some other things you can do. You can get equity lines, again, on your home. The banks are doing that. That was very common before the last recession. Some banks are kind of hesitant. They want to know why you're borrowing the money against the equity. And they have far more stricter rules about how much they can lend against the equity. The other way you do it is obviously the owner financing we talked about. But understand this, if you're doing owner financing, you really can't discount the price down. If you're asking a seller to function as a bank because you as a buyer don't have money, you're kind of talking out the side of your head when you're asking them to take a discount on an haircut and then give you financing because you don't have the cash. And then the final way that we do, and this kind of came to fruition really the last 10 years during the recession, was what's called the IPSA, where you're rolling over money from your 401k into a C corp. So basically, you know, I describe it as doing an IPO to yourself. You're not cashing out your 401k, but you are taking those monies and investing it into your own company. And it sits inside your 401k, and then you can cash it out. Now, what's the downside? The downside is it's a C corp, and this is not the time for me to describe C corp, S corp, and tax liabilities. But suffice it to say, C corp is the least friendly tax structure you can be from a corporation standpoint. The other element of that that gets to be a little pricey is there's a $4,000 to $5,000 expense to maintain your status with the federal government. So realize your money in your 401k you've received tax benefits from or deferred if you're a 401k or an IRA. You know, the government's letting you not get taxed on it. They're certainly not going to let you make money on it in a non-tax step. So they want to make sure that you're staying in compliance with the laws that they have set up. So, you know, the companies out there like Benetrends, or there's another one, Guidant Financial, that does this. You know, they charge $4,000 to $5,000 a year just to maintain your status with the federal government. So, you know, the bottom line is that financing money, financing deals costs money. The cheapest way is to get seller financing, but you've got to realize that sellers at the Main Street level are doing something else with the business. So you're not going to get crazy terms. You're not going to get 10-year notes. You know, you're not going to get 50% paper. That's just not going to happen. And the reason is there's competition. There are other buyers out there. All too often, buyers tell themselves that they are the end-all, be-all, and that the seller needs them. And I'm here to tell you, I had one yesterday. Small, believe it or not, a hot dog stand, ice cream parlor, does $300,000. And the buyer, I had two buyers, and my buyer offered $60,000, and another buyer offered the full price of $75,000. I called my buyer back and said, "Is this your best offer?" Now, I'm not allowed to kind of say, hey, you need to be at a certain number, but I am allowed to say, you know, is this the best thing you got? And the guy said, yeah, you know, you need to take my deal. And I went, you do realize there's other people. And he says, yeah, you know, and I know deep in the back of his mind, he's thinking that's just a broker tactic. So what happened? Seller took the 75, went to contract. First thing this morning, driving to work, my guy's texting me going, hey, what's the deal? And I'm going, he took the 75. Now, this is where it gets funny. The guy calls me up and goes, what do you mean he took the 75? And I said, what part of full price offer didn't you get? And I said, dude, I told you, I said to you, you know, is this the best you got? And I told you there was somebody coming else in. You know, apart from beating you over the head and violating the rules and the law, what else would you have me do? And you know, so the hard lesson there was good businesses sell. And as a buyer, you have to understand how sellers think, what they're going through, and what they're willing to do. And, you know, buy what you feel if you need to pay for something. You know, pay what you need to feel. You feel it's worth. But you compete in the marketplace as a buyer for good businesses. And, you know, this isn't a simple math problem. And sometimes variables like, you know, competition, the needs of an active owner versus a passive owner. That was the other thing. My buyer wanted to be passive. The other guy wanted to be active. So he was willing to pay more than the guy who was not inactive. But the problem is, there's nothing else that's simple and can be run absentee out there. So my guy probably should have paid the premium number. Anyways, that's my topic on financing. You got three choices. Rolling over the 401k. Owner financing, which is the lion's share of what we do. Let's say four choices. Maybe a little bit of an equity line, but you got to be careful on that. And then SBA. If you want to know anything else about buying or selling a business, how you finance a purchase, feel free to give me a call, 321-287-0349. I'm Mike Shea, yourfloridabusinessbroker.com.